Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV each and every week at this time. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why I need your calls, I need your SMS, and I need your emails to the telephone numbers and the addresses that will come up on the show throughout the show. And remember, any views I express on this show are my own personal views. They're not necessarily the views of Press TV, still less the views of anyone else. Nobody owns me, and I don't own anyone else. I've missed you. I've just returned from the United States of America, just come more or less straight from the airport after a successful tour of the United States, where I launched Viva Palestina, USA. And with Ron Kovic, the Vietnam War hero on whose life the book and the film Born on the 4th of July was based, he and I will lead a U.S. convoy to Gaza. When else? On the 4th of July. You can call me on 442086014555. You can SMS me on 447800008066. And of course, your voicemails are always welcome. 442030702522. Let's go to the comment wall and take our first email of the evening, and my first for a couple of weeks, seems like longer. Let's go to the comment wall here. We want your country and your views up here. We want them from all over the world. Yusuf in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The US wants a strong response to Korea's missile test via the UN. This is irrational while remaining weak against the war crimes of Israel. We can see Obama's agenda towards the IMF World Bank policy while embracing NATO's monstrous and beastly offensive against the Afghan and Pakistani people, now boldly exposed as an extended iron hand of Bush. Such hypocritical stand of the US will only crash down the popularity of Obama earlier in the first year of his regime. Well, Yusuf, he's only been in for 80 days. Let's give the man a chance. He has done some good things. The New Year message to the people of Iran was a very impressive message and very warmly received in Tehran. His relaxation of some of the restrictions, foolish restrictions, for more than half a century on the relations between U.S. citizens and the island of Cuba are also very welcome. His drafting of Jimmy Carter to help him on the Middle East peace process, that's a positive step forward too, in my view, and his appointment of Senator George Mitchell to the Israel-Palestine track is also good. However, as you'll see from a cartoon that's coming up later, if he insists on this policy towards Afghanistan and Pakistan, it's going to turn up as his Vietnam. And if he continues business as usual with Netanyahu and Lieberman, this new and atrocious Israeli government, then there's no point in him closing Guantanamo Bay. He'll only have to open it again. But thanks, Yusuf, for being in touch from Saudi Arabia. Salute to all our friends in the Gulf countries, with the Persian Gulf, the United States of America. I was astounded at the number of people watching this program from the United States. So all the best to them, too. Let's go to the comment wall and take an SMS. Will Gunson in England, is it my imagination or did the most dangerous, bellicose, belligerent rogue nation test fire a missile this week? The media was wittering on and on about North Korea, so I didn't get it straight. It's a very witty and good point, Will. The North Koreans, of course, haven't invaded anyone, at least not for the last half century, but there are lots of people threatening to invade them. And of course, North Korea is ringed by U.S. Nuclear missiles. And Japan, with the old adversary, nemesis, would-be nemesis in the Second World War of the whole of the Korean Peninsula, is bristling with American forces. And it's a bit like the pot calling the kettle black, don't you think? Thanks very much. Let's take an email. This one is from where? Remember, we want your country up here. Christian Mesmar, a Syrian in the UK, I was sitting a few seats behind you on a flight from Damascus to London, Syrian Air, in late summer 2006. You see, I'm spotted everywhere. Do you think that we will have peace in the Middle East and a Palestinian state with the new Israeli president, who apparently doesn't believe in peace, according to Press TV? Well, not the president, of course, but the Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Foreign Minister, Mr. Lieberman, make no bones about it. They don't even maintain the pretense, and it was only a pretense, of the previous Israeli governments that they were interested in a peace process. They're just not interested in paying the price that would be required for peace, and that price is justice. No justice, no peace. It's really simple. So the answer to your question is no. I'm not expecting the government of Israel to give any justice to the Palestinian people. The only way that will happen is if the world forces them to. And the two most important theaters in the whole world for that are the Arab world, where you're sitting, and the United States of America, where I've just been. Let's go back to the comment wall, take an SMS this time from Daniel in the United Kingdom. Do you think the economic crises are also due to the wars imposed on Afghanistan and Iraq? Very good point, Daniel. The United States has spent well over $1 trillion on the invasions and occupations of Muslim countries since 9/11. The US economy has gravely suffered as a result. And of course, the whole confrontation is fueled by anger and bitterness at the United States policy of double standards and injustice towards many Muslim countries, of which Palestine is the key. So yes, this ineluctable drift to war and occupation is intimately connected to the economic crisis. Thank you for that. Let's go back to the comment wall, take an email this time. It's from, well, Malawi. Mark Harold, why did Press TV never criticize the Muslim world when Hamas attacked Israel? But when Israel do the same, they put up pictures of Palestinian kids, like Israel too, do not have kids. Well, that's a bit confused, Mark. I don't know how you criticize the Muslim world. Hamas had a ceasefire with Israel, which lasted 6 months. And there were no Hamas rockets fired at Israel in those 6 months. Israel, as is now accepted by every commentator, deliberately, willfully broke that ceasefire and caused the extraordinary bout of bloodletting which they unleashed on the 27th of December. And I think you probably know the casualty figures, don't you? 14 Israelis were killed, 11 of those were soldiers. However, thousands, nearly 5,000 Palestinians were either killed or maimed for the rest of their lives or left as orphans. So as a question of proportion and a question of culpability, Mark, I think you've got it wrong, but then I also think you know that. Let's stay on the comment wall and take an SMS from Saudi Arabia. The Arabs must respect themselves first, then others will respect them. That's absolutely true. It's a message I try to give from every platform, every time I speak. I've been in the United States, and I see the way in which even the most slavishly pro-American Arab regimes are treated there. I can assure you that it doesn't matter how many times you roll over and cry Uncle Sam, you're not going to earn yourselves any real respect in Washington or London, for that matter. After all, if people can take from you that which they want without price, without giving you anything in return, why should they change their habits? Only when they think that they have to do something in return for that which they want are we likely to get anything like mutual respect. Let's stay on the comment wall, and we'll take an email from Greece. Jackie Morris, a small news item this week states that Russia has purchased unmanned drones from Israel. Does Russia need them, and why? Does Israel have such a good manufacturing industry? If so, why does the USA give them aid? I also saw that 500 Israeli millionaires are now suffering from the credit crisis. How dare they complain? Bravo to Jerry Adams for meeting with Hamas. Absolutely correct, and the day will come, and come soon, when everyone will have to meet Hamas. Why? Because Hamas are the elected representatives of the people of Palestine. The free and fair election which took place there was the only free and fair election that was ever held in the Arab world, and they won it. I'm not myself a supporter of Hamas. I wouldn't have voted for them, but I am a supporter of democracy. And if the Palestinians choose Hamas, it's not Washington or London, still less Tel Aviv's job to decide that they voted the wrong way. And Mr. Adams, of course, knows a thing or two about that, because the British tried to do the same for a very long time, pretending that Sinn Féin, of which he's the leader, were not the representatives of the nationalist people in the north of Ireland, when, of course, any sensible person knew that they were. And the last time I looked at Gerry Adams, he was sitting in the Oval Office with President Barack Obama. Who knows? He might even be in Buckingham Palace for tea one day soon. So there's no future in trying to choose other people's leaders for them. It just doesn't work. And it will have to be changed. You saw that the Hezbollah dialogue between British government and Hezbollah has resumed. A couple of weeks ago, nobody was allowed to speak to Hezbollah. Now, Mr. Blair is sitting down for tea with them. And a good thing, too. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir, where are you?
My name is Goyal from Birmingham.
Welcome, go ahead, sir.
Glad you are back from your tour.
Thank you so much.
George, I want to know what are the mechanisms to prosecute the returning British Jews fighting in Palestine. I understand large numbers are recruited from Britain who hold British passport. Or is it not possible at all?
Well, I don't think it is possible, but it is an extraordinary paradox. Because if any British citizen of any religion went to Palestine to fight with the legitimate forces of the Palestinian people, recognized, funded, given their uniforms by the European Union taxpayer, he would undoubtedly be charged with some kind of terrorist offense on his return. Whilst other British citizens can go to Israel as dual passport holders, can put an Israeli uniform on and can invade Gaza and commit the kind of atrocities that are alleged to have happened there. I say alleged, I think you saw them on television, but for legal reasons I'm bound to say alleged. Now, this paradox is even more brazen. In the Jewish Chronicle, and I'll be attending to this in Parliament on Monday, in the Jewish Chronicle there was a full-page ad taken out by the Board of Deputies of British Jews, or an offshoot of theirs, a registered charity, asking the readers to send food parcels and sweets and so on to, and I quote, our soldiers fighting in Gaza. This is a British newspaper, a British organization, a registered British charity, sending parcels to a foreign army invading a territory that's been illegally occupied for more than 40 years. A complaint went into the Charity Commission, and nothing has happened about it. At least not yet. Wait till I get on the case. Thank you very much indeed. There's much more coming up after this. I'm George Galloway, and I've argued with some of the most powerful people on the planet, from the US Senate on Capitol Hill, through British Prime Ministers, from Harold Wilson, through Margaret Thatcher, to Gordon Brown and Tony Blair. But now, I'd like to argue with you, here on Press TV, on Comment. You can ask me your questions. You can put your point of view. All you have to do is email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. I'll be here every week.
And you can SMS me 00447800-8066.
You ask the questions, I give the answers. You make the arguments, I make the rebuttal. George Galloway, join me. You'll enjoy the debate, I promise. And I hope you think that's a promise that's being kept. I hope you are enjoying the debate. Remember, I need your telephone calls, 44208-601-4555. You can SMS me on 44780000-8066. And your voicemails, of course, 44203070-2522. But let's stay on the comment wall, and I think we have an email. Let's see where this one's from. They're all around the world tonight. Birmingham, Goya, Sudan, the only way to achieve full peace in the Middle East is to completely disarm Israel. This can only be done if the European countries want it. Israel must not be able to exploit the Holocaust because it's out of date. Israel has breached all norms of international law and continues to do so with impunity. Europe has planted the Zionists in Palestine and it has to dismantle the illegal settlements and the occupation. Well, let me first say, Goyas, that the Holocaust will never be out of date. It wasn't just the greatest crime of the 20th century, it may have been the greatest crime in all human history. And we must never make light of it or use it in any kind of moral relativist way. We have to acknowledge that European Christian fascism massacred millions of Jews and attempted to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth. We must acknowledge that. We must honor the suffering that that represented. But we don't accept that that gives survivors of that Holocaust, or now generations on, Jewish people who are Zionist supporters, who go from Brooklyn in the United States or go from London to go and take Palestinian land and keep Palestinian people out of their lands. We don't accept that the suffering suffered by Jewish people in Europe in the 1930s and 40s in any way excuses or justifies a crime against the Palestinian people, who of course had nothing whatsoever to do with the Holocaust. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hi there, is that George?
Yes, hello.
Hi there, my name's Darren, I'm calling from Manchester.
Welcome.
Hi there, yeah, just want to know really, I mean, I caught your little trip to the U.S. And I just want to know, who exactly do you support now? Because it seems to be changing from you know, for every, you go around the world, and I'm not kind of one of these, you know, George Galloway bashers that you have here in the U.K., but what you got to give me some credit, because when I watch the news and I see you, you know, holding the banner of Hamas and Hezbollah and saying, we're all Hamas, we're all Palestinians, and you go to Washington just a few weeks ago, and you say, I don't support Hamas, and I never have supported Hamas. I mean, what's going on, George?
Well, I'll tell you, although I suspect that you know, I never have supported Hamas, not ever, not ever, not a day in my life. I have never said we are all Hamas, though I have said in our thousands, in our millions, we are all Palestinians. I support democracy. It's real simple. If the Irish people choose Gerry Adams as their leader, then nobody has the right to refuse to deal with them, because international relations cannot proceed on the basis that one group of people choose the leaders of another group of people, especially when they're in a conflict with them, because by definition, that will mean the conflict will never end. And I want this conflict to end. I want it to end because I don't want to see suffering either amongst the Palestinian people or the people in Israel. Neither do I want to see the entire Middle East continually destabilized. Neither do I want this swamp of bitterness and hatred which exists out there as a result of Western policy towards that region get deeper and deeper and more toxic. And we have ample evidence in New York, in London, and elsewhere of just the kind of toxicity that I'm talking about. So, I suspect you knew all that anyway, but I'm grateful to you for giving me the opportunity, my position. I support the Palestinian people's right to choose their own government. I have never said we are all Hamas. Neither have I ever said we are all Hezbollah, but Hamas and Hezbollah are legitimate, elected leaders of their respective peoples. And I'm afraid you in Manchester, if Manchester really is where you are just going to have to get over that. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, caller.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening to you, sir.
This is Hamid calling from France.
Very welcome.
Welcome back from the trip you had in U.S.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Galloway, to start with, I am a Canadian citizen by citizenship. I was very disappointed, very embarrassed, in fact, to hear what happened with Canadian government and the Canadian immigration and this really coward act of Canadian government for trying not to let you inside the country. However, I'm not surprised. Mr. Stephen Harper is well known in Canada. His political pro-Zionist political actions has been historically established. He has a very strong supporter from Canadian Jewish Congress and also Zionist movement in Canada, and that didn't surprise me. In fact, how he reacted. However, how can he ever have any empathy and sympathy for Palestinian people when he is or Canada is treating their own indigenous people with really, no justice. Canadian indigenous communities are in a desperate situation, not any better than Palestinian in a way. So it doesn't really surprise me to see how Mr. Harper and Canadian government, Canadian courts reacted to your entry to Canada. And I'm sorry again. It was a sad day for me as a Canadian to see.
Thank you very much. And that's the view, I think, of very many Canadians. No one knows exactly what proportions, but my feeling was that the majority of people in Canada, whether they agreed with my views or not, were certainly against this ham-fisted attempt to keep me out, not least because it completely backfired. The audience for what I had to say in Canada was vastly inflated as a result of the Canadian government's decision. The book that's banned is usually on the bestsellers list before long. Now, there was a vote in the United Nations. I spoke in the United Nations last week in New York, and there was a vote in the day or two before I got there to deplore, not condemn, deplore the illegal settlement activity of the Israeli government in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem. 46 countries voted for the resolution to deplore it. Only one country in the whole world voted against. That country was not the United States, which abstained, not Israel, which didn't show up, but Canada. And there's something very peculiar about the political position of Canada, which seems to be determined to box itself into the unedifying role of an embassy of Netanyahu and Lieberman in Tel Aviv. It's not, I think, a future the Canadian people want to share. Let's take an SMS just before the break. From ABBA in England, will there ever be a US president that will want to cut off ties with Israel? Well, probably not to cut off ties with Israel, but all we're asking from the US president is a bit of fairness. All we're asking for is even-handedness. All we're asking for is the implementation of international law, the legal right of the Palestinian refugees to return to their homes, and the demand that Israel withdraws from the territory it occupied in 1967. The Israeli government has broken more United Nations resolutions than all the other countries of the world put together. And that says something. All we want is a US president who will recognize that. Whether President Obama will be that man, we'll have to wait and see. As I said, he's only been in 80 days. Give the man a chance. He's doing not too bad on one or two tracks, doing not so good on one or two others. But that's the nature of the debate here on Comment on Press TV. I'll be back after the news, so don't go anywhere at all. Remember, I need your telephone numbers, I need your SMS, I need your emails, and I need you back right after the news. It's George Galloway, Comment on Press TV. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV every week at this time, broadcasting from central London. This is The Big Conversation, but it can only be a real debate if you join in. That's why I need your phone calls on 44208-601-4555 or your SMS on 44780008066. You can even leave me a voicemail and I'll listen to it in the course of the week, 44203-070-2522. Now, every week at this time, we see the political cartoons that have caught the eye of my editors. Let's see what he's got for us this week on the comment wall. This one by Khalil Bendib is just brilliant. Quagmires, it's called. It has President Obama standing in a swamp. Vietnam, 2,000 miles. Iraq, 1,000. Afghanistan, here. Caution, quicksand, and the vultures up there waiting for the president to fail, and most importantly, waiting for more young men to give their lives in a foolish, useless, doomed military conflict that will have to be resolved eventually by a negotiation with its neighbors, Afghanistan's neighbors, and with the people of Afghanistan through their actual representatives, those who actually represent those with whom the Western armies are fighting. And if President Obama, as I said earlier, continues with George Bush's policy towards Afghanistan and Pakistan, it is going to be his Vietnam. Here's another one, this by Carlos Latuf in Brazil. According to Netanyahu, Israel will be a partner for peace. And there's the mailed fist, and the bird, which looks like a bird of peace, is in fact clutching not an olive branch, but a branch of hand grenades, and of course its claws are visible there. Israel's April Fool's Day. This is a reference to the extraordinary new reality that Netanyahu and Lieberman, possibly the most extreme right-wing government in the entire world. You know, when Haider was appointed briefly as Prime Minister of Austria, everyone boycotted Haider. I wonder if they'll boycott Lieberman. Obama's change, again by Carlos Latouf. In the Bush era, there was a gun in the back and the pockets of the world were picked. In the Obama era, at least according to Carlos, the dove of peace emerges from the Uncle Sam's hat, the world claps, but their pockets are picked nonetheless. A bit cruel, but nonetheless, Carlos Latouf's point of view, it isn't necessarily mine, at least not after just 80 days, it's not mine. Let's go to the phone lines and take a caller. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Europe and Georgia. My name is Okropiri.
You're very welcome indeed. You're the first caller we've ever had from Georgia.
Yeah, thank you. I want to make comments about the climate change problems. The climate change problems, without my help, it never stops around the world, I think like this. And it can be stopped by judicial power only. And I think I can stop immediately around the world when the hurricane or floods will be in countries. And if countries leaders will listen to me, and if they contact to me, I will stop it by judicial power, I think.
And it's what's your possible particular qualification for solving this?
I don't know. I think the God will listen to me. And I was, before when the climate change problem begins, I was saw it, that it will begin and will come the crisis.
Well, thank you very much. It's our first call from Georgia. I hope we get a better one. 44208601 4555, that's the number to call. You can SMS me on 4478008066. Let's take an email this time from Didier Ngoyi in Johannesburg. What's the difference between Hamas and Fatah? Well, the original difference was that the Hamas came into being as the Islamic resistance movement. It was never a member of the Palestine Liberation Organization led by my late friend President Yasser Arafat. They didn't want to be. They had a different line. They are an Islamic movement primarily, but over the years the nationalists have become more Islamic and the Islamists have become more nationalistic. And so the actual differences between the two now are not great. And I'm hopeful that the unity talks still going on, I think, in Cairo. I haven't been told that they have broken down or have finished. These unity talks might well bring about a national unity government. Another big difference is that Hamas are regarded very widely by the Palestinian people as uncorrupted people, as clean and honest people, that won't pick the people's pockets and that won't misuse the foreign aid which comes into the country for themselves and their families. And I'm sorry to say that that's not a view universally held about all the leaders of Fatah, who now are based primarily in Ramallah and are being recognized and given money by Western governments, but not all of that money makes its way to the poorest people in Palestine. I, as I told you, all my life was with Arafat. If I had a vote now, it would be for Marwan Barghouti in the Israeli prisons, one of the leaders of Fatah. But Hamas have the standing in the country of being an uncorrupted, incorruptible political group, and that's worth a lot in the Arab world. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
I'm from Scotland, George. How are you?
I'm very well and glad to hear from my own country. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just want to greet you, which is Jesus, peace be upon you, greet in the Bible. Salam alaikum in Hebrew. Peace be on you.
Okay, thank you.
You are doing a very great job, you know.
Thanks.
About the Muslim world. Also, you want to see, you know, in Sri Lanka. In Sri Lanka, you know, innocent Tamil people. The Sri Lankan government killing, you know, the name of the terrorism. You just want to talk about them as well. You know, this is all...
Tell us, you have the microphone. You tell us.
Yes, sir, yeah, because all of the world, Barack Obama, or UK government, German, all of the United Nations want to stop this war, you know. They shouldn't kill the innocent people in name of the terrorism, you know. Because Islam never kill any innocent people, you know. The Quran say if anyone save the human, they save all of the humanity.
Yes, but I don't think this is a Muslim question. This is a conflict between the primarily Buddhist Sinhalese government in Colombo and the predominantly Hindu Tamil minority, which launched a war to try and achieve secession, separatism, on this very small island, which, if you want my own and honest opinion, is a very bad idea. Of course, the government in Colombo has reacted with extreme brutality, and of course there have been many, many atrocities carried out by the Tamils fighting for secession. The Muslims, of course, there are Muslims in Sri Lanka, are a very small minority, and they're not in this picture. So this is one conflict that we don't really have to drag Muslims into, don't you think? Ah, well, we've lost them, which is a pity, because I would have liked to have had an answer to that. Let's stay on the comment wall, and we'll take an email. This one from Nigeria, Godwin. I think it's better to declare to the world that you are a Muslim. This is because you have displayed your ignorance of the Bible. The fact is that whether you accept the truth or not, the West Bank and the present place where the Palestinians are occupying are for Israelis. That is God's promise for them. You went to Gaza and promised them that Jerusalem will become the capital of Palestine. Why do you promise them when it is not real? Your promise will come to pass if God is no longer God. Well, Godwin, there is no God but God, and God will never cease to be God. And God is not an estate agent. He didn't give an atheistic group of Zionists, ideologues, a title to a piece of land so that they could kick out the people who were living there and whose families had been living there for millennia. That would be a very unmerciful and unjust God. And God is neither unjust nor unmerciful. I promise you something, Godwin. Jerusalem will be the capital of Palestine. That's a promise. Let's take a telephone call. Go ahead, caller. Yes, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from London.
Go ahead, sir.
My name is Mohammed. I wanted you to clarify the real definition of Zionist.
You want me to do what? Well, we've lost that. I don't know what that actually said.
The Zionist. What Zionist mean?
Oh, okay. You want a definition of Zionism?
Yes.
Okay. The Zionists were a small group of atheistic Jews. That's an important point, because they claimed no biblical title then, who made a deal with the Imperial British government in 1917 to be given a piece of land that Britain did not even yet control then, during the First World War, in which they could build a white European settler state, a Zionist state, an ideological Zionist state. The idea was that the Jews should leave their own countries and go and live in somebody else's country, which would require, of course, kicking the people whose country it was out, taking over their land, their houses, and driving them to the four corners of the earth. That was based on the thesis that the rest of the world was irredeemably anti-Semitic, that Jews would never be at peace in their own country. Speaking as an anti-racist campaigner all of my life, and without a racist bone in my body, I reject that on both counts. First of all, it's a racist idea that European settlers can go to an Arab country and kick out the Arabs and take over. But it's also racist because it assumes that anti-Semitism and racism are unbeatable forces in the countries where the Jews were actually living, and I, for one, will never accept that. But thanks for your opportunity that you've given me. Let's go back to the comment wall. Take an SMS. This one from Warrington in England. I class yourself, George Galloway, and Ken Livingston as traitors to Britain, spewing out Iranian propaganda. Press TV is so one-sided and doesn't give a balanced view. Well, I'm glad you're watching anyway, Ian. You must be doing something right if you're watching us so avidly. But we're not the traitors. In fact, the traitors are those who used and misused the bravery of our young soldiers in the service of a foreign country. In that case, the United States of America under the imbecile President George W. Bush. They're the people who really betrayed our country. They betrayed our people. They betrayed our armed forces. They betrayed our interests. So I'll go toe-to-toe with you any time, Ian, on who the traitors in this country really are. But you'll have to wait. I'll be back after this. I'll be bringing you a program called Comment. It's the big conversation. It's the great debate. Looking for your telephone calls, your emails, your SMSs. Make sure your email, your SMS, and above all, your telephone call gets through to me. So join me, 9:36 GMT every week. Comment, Press TV, broadcasting live from central London. You'll enjoy the debate, and that's a promise. Now, Ian, who thinks I'm a traitor, should really telephone me, shouldn't he? Wouldn't that make a good television debate? 44208-601-4555. Come on, Ian. Hit the telephone line. Let's have a discussion about that. In fact, if you disagree with me, your call is worth even more to me than the calls of those who agree with me. So please, that's 44208-601-4555, especially if you disagree with me. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an SMS from Roy in Liverpool. You can't be serious when you say Gerry Adams may have tea with the Queen. He has too much integrity. He and his party refuse to swear allegiance, rightly so. Well, I wouldn't bet your house on it, Roy, because, of course, Mandela, who was denounced as a terrorist, and Makarios in Cyprus, and Kenyatta in Kenya, and many, many others have ended up taking tea with the Queen. You don't have to recognize the Queen as your sovereign to take tea with her. After all, I've taken tea with her myself in Buckingham Palace. In fact, I've even served her in my humble capacity as a waiter in a hotel in Dundee many moons ago. But thanks, Roy. Let's take an email on the comment wall. This one is from Hussein in Saudi Arabia. Those who turned a blind eye, I think, on Zionist Israel's nuclear arsenal have no right whatsoever to comment on Iran's nuclear program. Hussein, this is a paradox, if paradox is a strong enough word, that I've highlighted here many times. Iran does not have nuclear weapons, does not intend to build nuclear weapons, has been declared by Mohammed al-Baradei, the head of the IAEA, as not in any sense building nuclear weapons. He said many times, there is no evidence that Iran is building nuclear weapons. Israel, on the other hand, has hundreds of nuclear weapons, many of them pointed at Iran. Which country is being subject to sanction? Which country is threatening to fire missiles at the other? Actually, it's Netanyahu who said on the 31st of March that if the United States doesn't deal with Iran, that Israel will deal with Iran. Well, I don't think the United States will allow them to do so. And Israel, of course, works for the United States, not the other way around. But if they did do so, it would be the biggest mistake in all history. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, George.
Yes, hello, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, my name is Robert. I'm speaking from Yorkshire.
Okay.
And
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, George. I just want to ask for your comments on the raid that was made today in Manchester. Do you think it's all propaganda, you know, talking about the Sky News for the last couple of weeks? They haven't said much good about Pakistan and now saying Pakistani students being arrested under terrorist acts and what. Do you think it's all propaganda or do you think it's real?
Well, no one has been charged yet, or I would have had to cut you off in the first few words as soon as you mentioned that subject, because once someone is charged in this country, there can be no debate on these matters. And even in the absence of charges, there are severe restrictions on what we can say about it. So I can't comment at all on this raid and on the circumstances that surround it. What I can say is that there have been many, many such raids carried out in a blaze of publicity that turned out to be based on nothing. And some of them are so notorious that they'll be in our history books. There was, for example, the non-existent plot to blow up people at Manchester United, where seven people were arrested in a blaze of publicity. All seven of them were released without charge, but not before their own, their families, and their communities' futures were blighted. So if the police have cracked a plot to damage, hurt, maim, kill innocent people in the Greater Manchester area, then I'll be the first to take my hat off to them. And if they have done so, then anyone who was thinking of carrying out these kind of atrocities deserves to be in prison, in my opinion, for the rest of their lives. There can be no justification for harming and killing innocent civilian people. And that's all I can really say about it. We'll have to watch this space, wait and see if there are charges laid, and then wait for a fair trial, which we must insist upon. Let's take an SMS. This one is from Richard in Uganda. Why can't the G20 deal with the corrupt leaders in poor countries, i.e. in Africa, unless they are in on those dirty deals? Well, Richard, you don't have to be in Africa to be a corrupt leader, as I think you might know. And I don't want to go into details here on live television, but corrupt politicians, I promise you, are not the sole preserve of Africa. Thanks very much for the communication. Anyway, let's take another call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hi, George.
Yes, hello, sir. Where are you?
Hi, I'm calling from Manchester, George. My name is Salam.
Welcome, sir.
I'm originally from Northwest Frontier Province, Pakistan, but I've been here for the last 15 years now. I would like to know your comment about the genocide carried out by Americans in the tribal area of Pakistan. I've been there recently and seen with my own eyes children and girls and mothers, you know, being killed by these drones attacks. I witnessed them by myself with my own eyes. And, you know, of course, with the support of these corrupt and faithless leaders of Pakistan. And my second question, of course, is that what do you think is really the future of Pakistan in these current circumstances?
Well, there's absolutely no doubt that the President Obama, continuing President Bush's policy of unmanned drones and other military attacks on the northwest frontier and the so-called tribal areas on the border with Afghanistan, are not only massacring significant numbers of people, many of them women and children, but they are causing a wave of fanaticism and extremism throughout Pakistan, destabilizing the newly reinstalled, re-elected democratic government there. And before long, we're going to have an uncontrollable situation in Pakistan if this policy is not reversed. As I think you may know, I have a very long association with Pakistan. I hold the two highest civil awards in Pakistan, the Hilali Qaidi Azam and the Hilali Pakistan. I'm watching the situation with great concern. I'm doing what I can. You might want to go to YouTube and see my speeches on these subjects in Parliament and on many other platforms. It's a matter of grave concern for the world. Not least, of course, because the West built up a military dictatorship in Pakistan, and nuclear weapons are there under their control. Take an SMS, I think, this time. From Afghanistan, Kesh, when do you think we will get peace? Well, sooner or later, Kesh, as I was saying, the NATO governments, though don't ask me why NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is currently fighting a war in South Asia, are going to have to come to a negotiated settlement with Afghanistan's legitimate representatives and with their neighbors. We have legitimate interests in what happens in Afghanistan. We have a legitimate right, for example, to demand that Afghanistan not be a base for international terrorism against other countries, including our own. But we mustn't conflate that concern with international terrorism with the normal and historic wish of the Afghan people to rule themselves. They just want their country back. The ordinary person fighting against the occupation of Afghanistan has no view on the length of the skirts that the girls wear in Copenhagen or what people drink in bars in Manhattan. They just want to rule their country. They want to have their country back. We're going to have to deal with them and with their neighbors. We're going to have to bring this situation under control. It's better that it's sooner rather than later, because then fewer people will die. It's been marvelous. I'm really happy to be back. If you were also pleased, join me again next week at this time on Comment.